First Peter chapter 1. No, seriously, that's exciting. Amen. That's exciting. Good to have you all with us. Thank you, Pastor Barron. This is our third R. I apologize to those downstairs. I never gave them my notes because they like to have our verses. They'll be working there, that's for sure, on the live stream. First Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 4. Okay. I think most of you have been here, but if you haven't, we're just studying what's called the incentive of inheritance. You should have page number 4. It should say that on the top right, and then on the reverse side, it should say page number 5. We'll have some verses there that we will look at. And this is one that 100% of the body of Christ can be involved in, and that is in our stewardship. Now, the first couple, no. That's not possible for me to earn the wives' reward. All right? Just not. So, but before we get into this, over here are the first three. Lesson 1 was introductory. Lesson 2, we studied about rewards, and we're using the letter R, 5 different R's. Number 1, rewards. To explain some of the glimpses God has given us into eternity and what heaven will be like, and the rewards. So the 12 rewards that are spelled out in the New Testament are over there on page 2. The wife's reward, the husband's reward, the children's reward, father's reward, employer's reward, employee's reward, a prophet's reward, a righteous man's reward, disciples' reward, the do-gooder's reward, the afflicted's reward, and the persecuted's reward. Okay, and then lesson 3 was about crowns. We call them royal crowns. So rewards, royal crowns, the master's crown, that's the incorruptible crown, the messenger's crown, the soul winner's crown, which is the marathon crown, which is the crown of righteousness, the martyr's crown, and then the minister's crown, the crown of glory. That's explained over there a little bit, too. So if you have missed those, feel free to take the notes. And then there's actually a picture over there of one of the crown's jewels of England, but they estimate the value of that crown is over $500 million. And so we're talking about crowns, and there's a crown, and you can win it if you'll go in Jesus' name. So crowns have conditions to them, rewards have conditions to them, but tonight's lesson is universal for everyone in the body of Christ, even a widow who gives two mites, is remembered by the Lord in her stewardship, and we still talk about her to this day, that everybody that day at the temple had cast in the treasury of their abundance. But when Jesus saw her give the two mites, she gave them of her want. And the Lord Jesus lifted her up to the body of Christ as an example of sacrifice. And we might think, or those at the temple that day might have thought, well, you know, thanks for the coins or whatever she put in, the two mites. But Jesus recognized the amount, the percentage of what she had literally gave out of her wants. She had some wants, like all of us. We're all human. We all have wants. We have a list of wants. And not needs. We gotta take care of our needs, gotta pay our bills, take care of our family. You know, we're worse than an infidel if we don't do that. We know the Bible teaches that, right? But we all have a want list. And out of her want list, she said, I'm gonna go without what I want to help the Lord's work. So stewardship is something 100% of us can be involved in tonight, and that's our third R in our study tonight on the incentive of inheritance. And by incentive, we mean things I believe God uses to motivate us, to mobilize us, to make our time count. And this one has to do, number 3, with riches. So we have rewards, royal crowns, and now number 3, riches, and then 2 more coming up. This is this speaks of some kind of substance in heaven. Now, I've tried to say all along that I don't really know that much about heaven. We just have enough glimpses I think, given to us in the Word of God to motivate us. But notice what it says here in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 4. It says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." Now notice, "to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you." I can't tell you how many times I've read that portion of Scripture down through verse 9 at funerals of those that I knew had trusted in the Lord as their Savior. Predestination is a New Testament truth in three directions. We're predestinated to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ someday. We're predestinated to be adopted into his family. And we're predestinated to receive an inheritance. An inheritance. Okay? My children are predestinated to receive an inheritance when my wife and I die. We have it spelled out in a will. It's already predestinated. And my grandchildren, right? A good man leaveth an inheritance to his children's children. That's already predestinated. And it's already predestinated for you. Predestination has nothing to do with salvation or who goes to heaven or hell. There's only three revelations of what predestination is. And number one is that you and I are going to be like Jesus someday. We that have borne the image of the earthy shall also bear the image someday of the heavenly. We are predestinated to be adopted into his family forever, and then we are predestinated to have an inheritance. What kind, though? What kind of inheritance? As we know, people can lose their inheritance for sure by behavior, and we'll get to a lesson down the road here of how to lose your inheritance. I did a whole series once called The Forfeiture of Our Inheritance. It might be over there, I'm not sure, but anyway. But I've read this at funerals. I've read this so many times at gravesides. And I've got two funerals in July. Pray for me. Faith Kuhn went home to be with the Lord Sunday. She had attended here quite regularly back in the 1980s and 90s. Had four daughters, Kathy, Yvonne, Charity, and Danielle DiCarlo. Their last names were all DiCarlo. I doubt whether how many of you remember Faith Kuhn. Faye Kuhn, we call her Faye Kuhn, just a few of you. Yeah, okay. I'll be doing her funeral Monday afternoon out in Arcade, if you'd pray for me. And then my dad's funeral, memorial service, on the 15th. So far, please listen to this. I know this isn't the message, but so far 50 to 55 of our relatives are committed to attend the memorial service for my dad, and I will be sharing the gospel, so please pray. But according to verse number 4, there's three things about this inheritance. Number one, it is incorruptible, which is something you and I cannot imagine, something that is incapable of decaying for all of eternity. Because we live in a realm now where we, of course, live under the second law of thermodynamics, which says everything decays, everything slows down, everything wears out, everything fades away, everything dies. Okay, that's just the law we live under right now. Well, that law is going to be eradicated in the next world. And somehow, the inheritance you and I receive, verse 4 says, will be incorruptible, incapable of decay. Then second of all, undefiled. It'll never be deformed or debased in any way whatsoever. It's an undefiled inheritance. Then number 3, verse 4 of 1 Peter 1 says, fadeth not away. I mean, eternal brilliance, eternal brilliance. You don't have to shine it up. You know, I got all these little knickknacks at home, compasses and fancy compasses that are, you know, made out of brass and everything. And pretty soon they're all, You gotta get your brasso out. Some of you are in the military, Andrew. You know, you gotta get your brasso out, and all your brass that you used to wear, you have to take it off, take it apart, and rub it off. Not in heaven. No brasso in heaven. There is eternal brilliance to the inheritance that God gives us. And so, that's according to 1 Peter. chapter 1, verses 3 through 4. So I want to encourage you tonight to be rich toward God. Rich toward God, not towards this world and the things of this world. In Luke chapter 12 and verse 21, I'll read this. It says, so is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. And this is right after he talks about the parable of the guy who tore down his barns. And he built bigger ones. He says, I got so much stuff, I need bigger barns. Have you ever seen the big barns being built? You go down this road right here, Hemlock Road, and most of the houses that my wife and I have checked this out, most of the houses have either garages or barns bigger than the house down this road. And that's just the American way. Just the American way. I got to have bigger barns for more of my stuff. And so he tears down his barns, and then he dies. He dies suddenly. He says, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and marry. But God said unto him, verse 20, Luke 12, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. So we shouldn't try to be rich towards ourselves, but by faith we need to believe what the scriptures say to us tonight about the next life, which lasts forever. Literally, we're talking literally tonight about physical, eternal substance. And so we need to walk in wisdom. And so whether rich or poor, we can be good stewards of the things God has given us and be generous. And eternity in this realm will be different for each person based on their generosity and sacrifice. And I just believe those little widow's mites that people give and God sees where somebody gives out of their wants are gonna, you know, give us some kind of substance in heaven. And I don't know all this, but here's three ways to have treasures in heaven on your notes here. And we're going to go through these here, and I know it's stewardship, but some of you maybe are new to stewardship. We have stewardship month usually every October. And to me, it's always a blessing. To me, stewardship is one realm that every one of us can receive a blessing and see God work in our lives and have our own personal faith built. My personal faith grows in the realm of stewardship. I know my wife's personal faith grows in the realm of stewardship when we give, when we're generous, when we sacrifice, when we give to missions, when we commit, make a commitment, and it's just, you know, we're way down the road from some of you young people, but my wife and I laugh a lot. It's almost like a funny competition between us and God, and to at least this point in our life, we have never been able to outgive the Lord. Never. And we do not regret having begun before we were ever married, giving tithes and starting to give offerings. And then we really took off with missions when I became a pastor and we introduced that into the church. And we have never regretted it. It's just been laughable. And we've just increased and increased and increased our giving. And today we have more than we've ever had. But and many of you could stand up and give that testimony and more. Many of you here, we almost should find a way maybe to have people give stewardship testimonies just to help build the faith of other people. You young people, you can trust the Lord. I know I've seen God bring us through inflation before, recessions before, COVID, and our God, at least at this church, Faith Bible Baptist Church, our God has never been affected by any of that. And I know the inflation's ridiculous, you know. Today, $20 to get a suit cleaned. Man, I'm going to start wearing barongs or something where you can just throw them in the washer or whatever. But I don't know what to do, but man alive. Okay, but let's just get to these three, and this shouldn't take us too long tonight. Number one, by generally supporting God's work. By generally supporting God's work. Jesus taught in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 6, verses 19 through 20, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. Well, I don't know what's happening in our country. They're almost making stealing legal now for people to literally bust into your store and steal stuff, where thieves break through and steal. Must not be the first time it's ever happened, because Jesus was talking about it 2,000 years ago. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Now, if Jesus said that, it must be possible. We must just believe this by faith. Where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal them. Just as we said earlier, eternal brilliance. Nothing fades away. There's not one single thief in heaven. You never have to lock things up. Don't need any locksmiths or anything. But by generally supporting God's work. Turn back to Malachi chapter number 3. This is a famous text on stewardship. But really, we often read it out of context. And we often apply it. Now, that's the book right before Matthew. We often apply it to individuals. And it does work individually. But this is actually a prophecy regarding a nation. That's the primary interpretation of this text, beginning at verse 8, Malachi 3 and verse number 8. Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me, but ye say, wherein have we robbed thee in tithes and offerings? Now, robbery is worse than stealing. All right? If you know about the law, robbery is worse than stealing. You know, somebody just impulsively might say, I'm going to steal a candy bar, because he walks by a candy bar and he's got a hunger. But robbery is something that's planned out. Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. So notice in the context, it's talking about nations. Nations that do not honor the Lord anymore in their stewardship. Keep that in mind. I know he's talking to Israel here, but I suppose it would happen to talk to America too. You are cursed with a curse. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith. That's the only time in all the Bible God ever said that. Prove me. Literally. Now, of course, he invites us to do that throughout the Bible by faith. Saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes. Who's the devourer? Yeah, Jesus said he came to seek, to destroy, to steal, and to kill. And he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. And all nations shall call you blessed, for you shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. The nation that tithes and remembers the Lord is a blessed nation. The nation that doesn't is a cursed nation. And I know we got probably the only thing saving us is real fast moving printing presses in this country. But we're $32 trillion in debt. That's like just if every one of us in America, every little baby could cough up about $280,000 each, we could pay that off. So if you got a family of 10, just come up with $2.8 million, contribute that, and we can pay off this $32 trillion in debt. And so what do? They raise the debt ceiling. Well, that's the solution. Keep borrowing, keep printing. It just seems like we're under a curse here because America has desecrated the Lord's Day. They're all out playing sports on Sundays, cheerleading and volleyball and archery and all this kind of stuff. We just keep offending God and slapping Him on the face. Sunday's the Lord's Day. And we are taught in 1 Corinthians chapter number 16 and verse number 1 and 2. Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order in the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, that's Sunday, let every one of you lay by him in store as God has prospered him. How's America going to do that when we're playing soccer on Sunday mornings and softball and football and volleyball, whatever else these kids play nowadays? Sports cannot prepare your child's soul for eternity. They must be saved. And sports is not going to lead them to Christ. It's going to keep them away from Christ. We need to sanctify the Lord God in our hearts and sanctify the Lord's Day. But by generally supporting the Lord's work, he said, I'll open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing so that you'll not be able to receive it. So I would encourage you to give tithes and offerings. And I don't have any, self motives here. I'm not paid by the church anymore. So I'm just trying to get you to be blessed in this life and to have a better resurrection in the next life. Because whatever Jesus means, I don't know. But he said, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. It must be possible to do that. Now, perhaps the next 2 points gives us a little bit more specific ways on how we can lay up treasures in heaven. Number 2 is by giving to the poor. By giving to the poor. Now, we have poor everywhere. We don't understand all, but Jesus once said, you're going to have the poor with you always. Jesus said that, and he says, whenever you can, you can give to the poor. Remember that when Mary broke the ointment over Jesus' head? And it just so happens, whether we can understand it all or not, I'm trying to think of a text here that, 1st, I'll read this, don't turn there. 1 Samuel 2:7, the Lord maketh poor and maketh rich. He bringeth low and lifteth up. And he's got his reasons. His ways are higher than our ways. And so sometimes in our lives, he makes us poor. And that's so he can teach us faith and prayer and fasting, those type things. He's chosen the poor of this world to be rich in faith, and he knows that the condition of your faith is far more important than the condition of your finances. And so he knows how to do that. There's a proverb that says, the poor and the rich meet together. The Lord is the maker of them both. And so there's rich people in every church. There's poor people in every church, and it gives us opportunity to minister to them and help them. We have an alms account, and we can give, if you don't know who to help, money can be put into the alms account that's separate from our church, but we can help poor people as we're going to, I'll be talking, about a couple families right now that I know of that really need some help. By giving to the poor, now these verses are on the opposite side of your page. So if you'll turn over and if you have a pen or a pencil, I'm going to have you underline some words in these verses here. So you should be looking at page number 5. And we're going to talk about here by giving to the poor, we'll have treasures in heaven. And some of these verses say the same thing, but I'll tell you what to underline. The first one is Matthew 19:21. Jesus said unto him, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast and give to the poor. Now underline these words. This is the subject tonight. And thou shalt have treasure in heaven. Underline those words. And thou shalt have treasure in heaven. This is our study. We're talking about heaven being a place of rewards and royal crowns and riches. What does that mean, have treasure in heaven? I have no idea what that means. But God's keeping the account of our stewardship. And if we have a heart for the poor. Now, as we'll get to number three, by giving to missions, a lot of times by us supporting missions, you are supporting the poor. And so two and three oftentimes go together in our church. Because we have what I call like a big pool here where it's called our missions account, where I heard recently it's up to 160 either missionaries or ministries all around the world that we're sending money to, that you are giving through your Faith Promise Missions giving that I'm giving to you, my wife is too. And that kind of goes into a big pool, and then it's dispersed in 160 different directions to missionaries in countries in every single time zone of the world. It's amazing. It's fascinating. It's exciting. I know that in this world, when you invest, they say you should have a diverse portfolio. What that means is don't invest all your money in one company, but in all kinds of companies and all types of companies. Because then if one goes down, you may still have 19 good ones. We're doing the same thing spiritually. I mean, you talk about a diverse portfolio. If somebody said to you, do you have any investments? Yes, I have 160 different investments all around the world that not only bless me in this life, but will bless me in the next life with treasures in heaven. Whatever that means, we'll have to wait to find out. But a lot of those, not all of them, but a lot of those missionaries we support are to the poor. They are ministering in very, very poor countries. And so by giving, so two and three tonight are almost the same. But there are Americans who are poor. And because of socialism, the poor are getting poorer. The rich are getting poorer. The middle class is going to disappear. But unless this thing comes to a halt, but we're as we go forward with this, if something doesn't change, we're going to find more and more people that are going to struggle just to make ends meet, pay their rent, pay for groceries, and it'll give us opportunities to help them. But you got to keep your eyes open. Now, the next verse, Mark 10:21, it's the same verse, but it's in the book of Mark this time. Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him and said unto him, one thing thou lackest. And that's what love does. Love does tell people their faults humbly. Go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor. And then again, underline these words now, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. There it is twice. Now, Luke brings it up, repeats the same thing. Sell what you have and give alms. Provide yourselves bags which are not old. Now, the wording is a little different here. A treasure in the heavens that faileth not. Well, that's quite a description. Unfailing. You know, the treasures on earth are not ever that way. It doesn't matter who we are. You might have a false confidence that your savings or investments are going to last for the rest of your life. And they may. That may have been a result of your good stewardship all your life and God's blessing. But in Proverbs 23 in verse 5, it says about this life, wilt thou set thine eyes upon that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away as an eagle toward heaven. And that's preceded by verse 4, which says, labor not to be rich. Cease from thine own wisdom. Because riches certainly make themselves wings. And I'm sure a lot of people can testify in their life about how they once had a big pot and they just, where did it all go? I don't know. And boy, I can tell some stories about people right there, but I won't. Who just, you know, I remember my wife one time, they used to print in the newspaper people, names who file for bankruptcy. They used to do that. And she used to look at them. I don't know why. But she showed me one day, and I said, that's not possible. What the guy had just inherited just years before that. How can you possibly be bankrupt? Well, riches make themselves wings and fly away. And people are not good stewards of what they have. Money can fail in this life. But here in Luke 12, verse 33, it says, a treasure in the heavens that faileth not. Whatever these treasures are, I just believe, I guess tonight, that some people in heaven are going to be a whole lot richer than other people in heaven, literally with physical substance to enjoy. I don't know what that means or what heaven's like, but some are not going to have much up there, and some are going to have a whole lot based on their stewardship down here of their riches. In the next text, Luke 14, when you get down to verse 14, it says, and thou shalt be blessed, for they cannot recompense thee. And he's talking about when you make a feast, verse 13, call the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind, and thou shalt be blessed, for they cannot recompense thee. For thou shalt be recompensed at the resurrection of the just. What does the word recompensed mean? Anybody know? To be paid back. To be paid back. Whatever you give to the poor, the Lord will pay you back. And that's not just in the next life, but also in this life too. In Proverbs 19 and verse 17, I believe is referring to this life. He that hath pity upon the poor lendeth unto the Lord. And that which he hath given will he pay him again. Is that clear? When you see a poor person and you buy them new tires for their car because winter's coming and they're going to kill themselves on those baldies, the Lord sees that. You're lending to the Lord, and the Lord will pay you back. He will. And so I know we have fears and apprehensions, and you know, we got to be careful. We don't squeeze the money so hard the green ink runs down our hands. We got to be liberal and say, hey, you know, I'm going to help this person. And just it's just where it gets funny to me. It just gets funny how it comes back and how God blesses. And you don't do it for that motive, but he does it because he said so. I'll pay you back if you help out a poor person. So, in Romans 15, verses 26 through 28, I'm on the second column now. Luke 18, 22, you can underline those words there. Thou shalt have treasure in heaven. Again, that's the fourth time. Luke 18, 22. Romans 15, verse 28, and have sealed to them this fruit. Now, there's a little phrase you might want to underline, and have sealed to them this fruit. Paul said, I'm taking the collection you've given me for the poor saints in Jerusalem. As soon as I hand it off to you, I've sealed to you that fruit. I've sealed that fruit to you. It's kind of like as soon as you put the faith promise in the offering basket, the fruit's sealed. In heaven. The fruit is sealed in heaven. Now, the last point tonight is by giving to missions work. The great text of Philippians 4, 10 through 19. I usually go through this every October. But in verse 17, the missionary Paul says this, Philippians 4, 17, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. Now, again, there's a phrase there to underline. But I desire fruit that may abound to your account. Okay, God's writing all the time, the old spiritual says, right? My God's all right. He's an accountant. God is an accountant. Now, I know I don't even deserve to go to heaven. I understand that. If the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly appear? I don't even deserve to go to heaven. But God says He saved us. He's predestinated us to an inheritance. But what kind of an inheritance will we have? And so I want to encourage you to be good stewards. Get behind God's work. Help the poor. And help missions. Help missions. So many missionaries come through, stick some money in their hand, or get to where you weekly give something to Faith Promise, like my wife and I do, and so many of you do. I think about 60 of you do. I think we got about 60 commitments last year, which is about half the church. But the rest of you, I hope you're given something. If not, you don't know what you're missing, or maybe you've never been taught. And it's not something to fear, but it's a blessing in this life and the next. And the next. And I don't know what treasures in heaven mean. So don't bristle when you hear about money or stewardship in church once in a while. We're trying to get you to help people on this earth while you can. And to have a better resurrection for yourself in the next life. And so I don't know what treasures in heaven means, but we've seen it tonight over and over and over again, a promise straight from the lips of the Lord Jesus Christ. That if you give to the poor and if you give to missions, there will be treasures in heaven that faileth not. The last one is Hebrews 10, verse 34. Again, I think this was Paul who wrote Hebrews personally, but we don't know. For you had compassion on me in my bonds and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods. Took joyfully the spoiling of their goods. These are people who gave out of their goods. Now notice the next word. I have this circled in red on my sheet. Knowing. And that's why we've had our Bible study tonight. Knowing. We don't want to be ignorant about this. Knowing in yourselves that you have in heaven a better and an enduring substance. I love the quote at the bottom by Jim Elliot, the missionary. It's famous. You probably have all heard it before. He ended up giving his life, so this quote's almost like prophetic. They murdered him on the mission field. But it's almost prophetic what he says right here. This profoundly affected me. He is no fool who gives up what he cannot keep to gain that which he cannot lose. That's not a fool. They said to that woman, what a fool. That ointment she poured on Jesus' head could have been sold for 300 pence and given to the poor. Jesus said, no, she gave that to me. And she's going to be remembered and memorialized for this gift. All over the world, people are going to preach about her and teach about her. And she has prepared me for my sacrifice on the cross. Now, I don't know if he still smelled that fragrance when he was on the cross. I don't know how soon it wears off. But it takes a while to get that stuff off of you. He may have actually smelled that fragrance, that ointment on the cross. That woman, she was the only one that believed. She said, he's going to die. I've come to anoint his body for the burial. The other guys, up to the last second, never thought he was going to die. They fought with their swords and everything. But she believed. She believed. And while she could, she gave. And Jesus said about her what? She had done what she could. She had done what she could. Nobody in this church is asking you to go broke or anything. We're just saying, do what you can. Man, give to the poor. Don't, you know, sometimes take of your want and just say, you know, I want this. I want this so bad. These new golf clubs, this new shotgun, this new fishing pole, this new boat, this new trailer, this new pickup truck. But just say, man, I'm just going to give this to the Lord. To his servants and see what comes of it. I did that once with a pickup truck. Remember my story? I had a 55 Ford pickup truck. It was a classic. We had a missionary come through, and this was when I was just learning about missions giving. And he said he had a project. And he was just trying to raise funds for the project. And while he was saying that, I was sitting there as a 22-year-old boy, young man, with a 55 Ford pickup truck. And I'm not saying you have to do this. This is just the Holy Spirit said, sell that truck. Give this missionary. Long story short, he came back and later reported because of that project that the Lord allowed me to finance, over 100 souls got saved because he was able to go forward with that project because he had the funds to do it. And through that endeavor, 100 people came to know Christ as their Savior. All right. Well, let's sing a song tonight in closing. Thank you. I know we went a little long, but hey, these are long days. Daylight till after 9 o'clock. Good to have Roger with us and Miss Paul from Dunellen. Boy, that's a nice place they have down there in Florida. I'm glad God's blessed you with that. I don't know when you're going back, but it's good to see you. Amen. Amen. You should invite us down. Yeah. 608. Let's close by singing 608. Stewardship song. We usually sing this in October. Let's sing it tonight. 608. Let's stand.